And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
And greetings, everybody. Yes, it's Friday. And yet another day to jump into apologetics, Catholic style. You listen to Hands-On Apologetics, and you've entered into the Virgin Most Powerful Apologetic Dojo. I'm your mild-mannered host, and I guess you could say sensei. And we're going to be talking about apologetics today, wall-to-wall, as we do every day. And we have a great week in store for you next week. By the end of the program, I'll give you a little bit of a tease about some of the guests that's going to be on the show. And, you know, as always, you are part of the program. So please give a call, 888-526-2151. And I think today's program, I think it would be a good program for callers. We're going to talk about something that's really important for Catholic parents. It's probably never a more difficult time, at least that I know of, for a Catholic parent to be raising kids. The culture is so corrosive. There's just so much to protect our kids from, to keep them innocent, to raise them to be virtuous men and women of God. You know, there's just so many different angles that we need to protect our kids from. And one thing I think every Catholic parent should be aware of is wolves. Okay? Wolves. Now, I'm not talking about literal wolves. I'm talking about wolves in sheep's clothing who wish to do some sheep stealing. And there's many groups out there who basically pad their own pews by pulling people out of the church and into their own particular group, denomination, sect, or cult. And like I said, parents need to be aware of this. And so what I'm going to do for this program, we're going to talk about warning signs, because early intervention, becoming aware that perhaps one your child or maybe one of your loved ones is being recruited, is being stolen out of the church by one of these wolves. The sooner you recognize that that process is occurring, the better chance you have at intervening and having a good outcome. But the trick is, how do you know when it's occurring? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go over 10 warning signs that your loved one is being pulled out of the church. So that would be very, very interesting. I think it'd be helpful for any Catholic parent out there just to be aware of the warning signs, so that you know, if you notice what your loved one is exhibiting, one or more of these things, you might want to start doing a little snooping, a little investigating, and God willing, you know, if you have to, that you'll be able to intervene and prevent them from being stolen out of the church, so to speak. So also, we are going to do our exercises. I like to call them exercises. The Finding the Fallacy segment, we're going to talk about propaganda, because every Friday we try to take a break from the usual informal fallacies and look at propaganda techniques. And today's propaganda technique is white hats and black hats. Okay, we'll talk about that in a little bit. And also, meet the early church father for today is a very interesting church father. And one of those names, again, I don't think Catholics, you know, it's not one of those names that just are on the tip of our tongues all the time. It's Ephrates the Persian Sage. That's kind of an interesting, or sometimes he's known as Ephrates the Persian. So that's our early church father. For those who live in Southeast Michigan, coming up tomorrow, there is the Midwest Catholic Apologetics Conference at St. Cyril and Methodius Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be hanging out with the main speaker, Trent Horn, and also one a great priest here in Southeast Michigan. By the way, for those who don't live in this area, I don't know if any of his homilies are available on YouTube, but you need to look him up. He's an incredible priest. His name is Father Ben Ludtke. Last name is spelled L-E-U-D-T-K-E, Ben Ludtke. This is the sixth Midwest Apologetics Conference we've had. I've spoken at a few of them. And I remember the first conference, Father Ludtke gave a homily that I literally thought we would not have an audience because everyone was going to go march out and evangelize. The guy's amazing. And also, as you know, Trent Horn, who was also at the, you know, in the Hands-On Apologetics Dojo a few weeks ago, he's going to be there as well. So if you're in Southeast Michigan and you'd like to get on fire for the faith, learn apologetics, you might want to check it out. Midwest Catholic Apologetics Conference, St. Cyril and Methodius Church in Sterling Heights. Like I said, I'm going to have a book table there. I'm going to be hanging out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And for those in Southern California, we've been announcing this for a while. Coming up very shortly, in February 20th, Breaking the Bible Barrier, Why Catholic Appeals to the Bible Fail and How to Make Them Successful. I'm coming down there to Covina at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina Wednesday, February 20th at 7 p.m. There's no admission. I'm going to have all my books and CDs. It's going to be an awesome talk. Lots of info, and I think very helpful, useful info. And I'd love to see you if you're in the area. And like I said, you know, there's I'm going to have a secret I'm going to reveal sooner or later, maybe even later in the show. Who knows? So if you're there, I'd love to see you. Please come down. It'd be great. I'm also going to be broadcasting, by the way, from the world headquarters there in Covina, Virgin Most Powerful Radio's new studio. So next, the week after next, I believe, it's we're going to be down there, and you're going to see me in the studio, so that'll be a lot of fun. And again, if you want to join the program, maybe you have some comments, suggestions, or maybe you're running into a possibility that one of your loved ones is being recruited out of the church, maybe give us a call when we could talk about it. It's at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. Or you can always email us at questions@handsonapologetics.com. Love to hear from you. And it's time for our shout-outs, everybody. Hello, watching all you on live stream on Facebook and YouTube. Great to see you. Great to see lots of... oh, good. Yeah, in fact, hi, everybody. I'm looking at the message chat room thing, the dojo section here, and I just noticed, yes, Father Ben Lukey's stuff is up on YouTube. You got to check him out. Great, great priest. he's probably going to smack me when I see him Saturday if word gets back to him, but great holy priest and a very great sense of humor and an amazing conversion story. You know, now that I think of it, I might ask him to be a guest here at the dojo. You guys got to hear the stories they has with Mother Teresa, now Saint Mother Teresa, right? All right, so gang, let's go to our exercises, shall we? The finding the fallacies, which is actually a propaganda technique, white hat, black hat technique. You know, this harkens back to the old cowboy movies. You know, the good guy always has the white hat. The evil guy always has the black hat. Well, this particular propaganda technique basically paints the world. It's when someone tries to paint the world as if all the people on their side wears all the white hats and all the people outside wear black hats. In other words, they demonize the opposition and they eulogize their candidate, their guy, or their group. Okay, so the world basically is us versus them. You know, it's a very polarizing kind of a propaganda technique. And it's designed basically to rule out any possible open conversation with the enemy. You know, why would you want to talk to the enemy? Because they're wearing black hats, right? And we're the good guys. So that's the propaganda technique. Not much to say about that. I think it's very prominent, especially in politics, political ads, that type of thing. You don't see it much in advertising. You do see it sometimes during debates on religious topics. And it's really, it's again, like all propaganda techniques, it's a means of persuading somebody to believe, think, or do something that is below any kind of rational demonstration or argument. It's just, it kind of sneaks underneath the radar, so to speak. All right, so that's our finding the fallacy. Let's jump to the early church father for today. And I said, our early church father is kind of a unique father. His name is Ephrates, the Persian sage, who lived roughly around AD 280 died sometime after 345 AD. A very early church father. In fact, he's the oldest fathers of the Syrian church, and we virtually know nothing about him. We don't have hardly any biographical material whatsoever. We can kind of guess at the dates. We know it was around 280 and died somewhere after 345. He's known as the Persian sage. Sometimes he's just called the Persian. He was an ascetic. He might have been a bishop, but we don't know where, what he was the bishop of. It seems that he was pagan. He was born of pagan parents and converted to Christianity. That's kind of what we glean from his writings. And he took the Christian name Jacob, which is also a little problematic because he gets mixed up, or at least for a while he was mixed up with Jacob of Nisibis. And unfortunately, what we do know about him only helps to confuse him with other people. He wrote a collection of works called The Demonstrations, and they're sometimes known as homilies, but really they're not homilies. Their format is treaties. He wrote 22 of these demonstrations, and the interesting thing is nearly all except the last one, the first word is the first letter in the Syrian alphabet, the Syriac alphabet. So he kind of goes through the Syriac alphabet and orders the demonstrations according. So that's our early church father for today, Phraates of Persia, I guess you'd say, the Persian. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to be talking about 10 warning signs that your loved one may be being recruited out of the church. Stay tuned, everyone.
If you're a listener to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, you already know about Hands-On Apologetics with Master Apologist Gary Machuda. And if you're a fan of Hands-On Apologetics, then we have some exciting news for you. This February, Sensei Gary will be leaving the Apologetics Dojo in Michigan to visit the Virgin Most Powerful Radio World Headquarters in Covina, California. And if you'll be in Southern California this February, we have more exciting news for you. Not only will Gary be doing his live show from our Virgin Most Powerful Radio studio, but he will be giving a live presentation on February 20th at 7 p.m. right here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. That's Gary Machuda speaking live on the topic of Breaking the Bible Barrier, Why Catholic Appeals to the Bible Fail, and How to Make Them Successful. For more information, call 877-526-2151 or visit virginmostpowerfulradio.org. It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
Welcome back, everybody. Actually, you know, before we begin with the 10 warning signs, I want to give a quote from Phraates of Persia. This is a really cool quote about confession. Now, remember, this is written near the end of the 200s, early 300s. And it kind of fits because if you've listened to this program and other programs of Virgin Most Powerful Radio, you often hear the analogy that the church is a hospital, right? And in fact, I think apologists are kind of like little MASH units that go out in the field of battle, patch people up, send them to the hospital. And he kind of draws on that. So I wanted to share this before we jump into the main material today. Now, this is from his seventh of his demonstrations. And he says this, quote, "For everyone who has been wounded in battle ought not be reluctant to put himself in the care of a wise physician, because he was overcome and lost the battle. When he has been healed, he'll not be rejected by the king, but will again be counted and reckoned in his army. So also he who has been struck by Satan ought not be ashamed to bewail his folly and to give it up, and to seek a remedy in repentance. If, however, if anyone is ashamed, he will not be able to be cured, since he does not wish to make his ills known to the physician who receives 2 denarii. So that with them all who have been wounded may be made whole, you physicians then, who are the disciples of our illustrious physician, you ought not deny a curative to those in need of healing." I just thought, man, that's a great paragraph, right? Because he talks about us being soldiers, being wounded in battle. And he says, what soldier wouldn't, after being wounded, avail himself of a wise physician so he could get healed? And then he says, and the king would not reject the healed person. They'll be counted as part of the army again. And so, and then he says, but we're wounded, we're struck by Satan. And he says, don't be ashamed to seek out a cure, to seek out a physician. And then he turns to the physicians, the priest, right? And he says, you physicians who are disciples of our illustrious physician, you ought not deny a curative to those who need of healing. So great, great passage from Euphrates of Persia. Really cool stuff, especially for confession. That's a very early quote concerning confession. So think about that. Next time you're going to the confessional, just realize you're just going there like you're going to the hospital to be healed by the disciples of our illustrious physician. Very cool stuff. All right, so let's talk wolves, shall we? I wrote a book several years ago. Those watching on live will actually see this. This is the cover. It's How to Wolf-Proof Your Kids, a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic. And the whole idea behind that book was that there are wolves out there. And these wolves sometimes masquerade as Christians. And what they want to do is they want to sheep steal. Okay. Now, we're not talking about people who want to share their faith or discuss the faith. We're not talking about people who may have objections or want to dialogue, something like that. We're talking about people who are they want to proselytize. In other words, they want to pull people out of the church and get them into their own group. And many times, these wolves can be very cunning. They can do that without the person realizing that they're being recruited or pulled out of the church, or being stolen. So there's many, many different kinds of wolves out there. There are coercive cults that will recruit members. I'm not just talking about people like the Way International or the Moonies or something like that. It could be Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Sometimes they use these kind of techniques to pull people out of church. It could even be a Protestant church who is trying to sheep steal. I mean, it could be something like a mega church, that's trying to pull people out of the church. So anyway, yes, How to Wolf-Proof Your Kids. So I wrote this book. I've been doing apologetics for a number of years. And what I noticed that sometimes I'd be called on what I call my kamikaze missions. People will call up and say, "Gary, yeah, my kid, I think he's just announced he's not Catholic anymore. He's going to join some group. Can you come and talk sense to him?" And I would come there, but the chances of a successful intervention that late in the game is almost impossible. It's really a long shot. It's really God's grace that can do it. It's the chances of success are quite small because they had already been indoctrinated. They're recruited. They got their ticket. They're already getting on the train. And then, you know, then I show up or some other person show up. And I've had friends, you know, in apologetics where they have the same experience. So what I thought I would do was, instead of trying to address the problem at the back end, you know, when the process has already occurred and chances of success are slim, why not put it into a program, what I call front-end apologetics, where parents or even just friends can instill certain skill sets, certain things that people ought to know that would make sheep stealing more difficult. So that's what I did. I took all the experience I had and also from what I've learned from my colleagues in the area and also from counter-cult ministries and things like that, and I put it into this book. And for parents, so that they could have a program, you know, some ideas, what you should be trying to instill in your kids to make sheep stealing more difficult. And also I include how to detect whether your kid's being pulled out of the church, and also how to intervene once you find out that they are. So it's a whole program there. And by the way, I'm going to let you in on that little secret I've been kind of teasing you for the past couple of weeks. At Covina, February 20th, when I'm there giving my talk, I have a case of these books I'm going to give out for free. Okay? So, as long as they last, I have one case I sent out to Covina. If you're going to show up and see me, you can have a book. You can pass it on to your loved ones, the people who need to read it. It's a great practical book, and that's why I want to try to get this out so that people can have it. So, yeah. So, you are going to be rewarded. I mean, if you have to sit through one of my talks, you're going to get a reward one way or another. But anyway, back to our program. So it's important. Early intervention is so important when somebody is in the process of sheep stealing because of the way sheep stealing occurs. It's not just feeding information, but what they want to do is they want to plug the person into their social network. They want them so that their friends become almost totally part of the group's friends, so that if you want to do something socially, guess what? You're going to be interacting with this group. They want to convert the mind, but they also want to convert attitudes. And there's all sorts of different ways they do that. And they do it all like under the radar. Like I said, many times the people who are victims of sheep stealing aren't even aware that the process is going on. It's kind of insidious. And that's the whole goal, is that, you know, you don't want to wake up the sheep when you're stealing them, because then they'll fight. But so our job is to find out if someone is trying to pull somebody out of the church, to step in and interrupt that process, and hopefully I'll kind of wake them up and allow them to assess critically what's going on. Okay. So that's kind of the goal of intervention. So to do that, you need to do it as soon as you possibly can. And quite frankly, I mean, how do we know whether or not our loved one's being pulled out of the church? How do we know that, you know, something's wrong, something's at work? And it's tough because, like I said, wolves like to masquerade in sheep's clothing. They are very hard to detect. They try to blend in and not be known. So anyway, I came up with 10 warning signs that I think parents should be aware of, okay? So let's go through those, okay? Too many books, not enough time. I hear you, Jose. That's my life story. one thing you need to know is that these are what probably more red flag issues than warning signs. What I mean by that is this. Just because your loved one may exhibit one of these 10 things, or maybe several of them or all of them, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're being recruited. It could be other issues involved, okay? So they're not the only explanations. Unfortunately, they're not telltale signs where, yes, you exhibit 1 through 4, therefore, I know for a fact you're being recruited out of the church. Don't do that. What I want these warning signs or red flag issues to do is to alert you that maybe I should start looking into the matter a little bit closer, find out what's going on, and you might find out something very innocent, right? So these aren't telltale signs. They're not like, hey, I see a red flag, therefore they're being recruited. It's more like, my radar should go up. Just kind of look around. Okay? All right, so let's begin. First red flag issue. A sudden arrival of new friends with the result that older friends are being ignored, neglected, or marginalized. That's a first red flag sign. Now, here's something interesting, folks. You know, parents, I have found through my experience, and the funny thing is, when I do these wolf-proofing talks for parishes, invariably afterwards, parents come up to me. I mean, like a dozen parents usually. And they'll say, yeah, this happened to my son or my daughter. They left the church. Or sometimes it's even my parent or uncle or aunt. They left the church. And everything you said is true. I wish I knew this beforehand. So it's not only just my own experience, but as I'm giving talks on this, people say, yeah, this is stuff I wish I knew. The sudden arrival of new friends with the result that older friends are ignored, neglected, or marginalized, that's a red flag issue. Now, the funny thing is, if you're a parent, chances are you won't notice this. Okay, even if you have good contact and a good relationship with your children, you might not notice an influx of new friends and that old friends are kind of being pushed aside. But, and this happens a lot, the first person to realize something's wrong when a child is being recruited is their best friend. Okay? It's almost always the best friend. Why? Because they're in day-to-day contact. They have intimate discussions. They do stuff together. They have the same friends, the same social net, so to speak. They're usually the first one to pick up on this warning sign because suddenly, all of a sudden, new people are on the scene and they are kind of, they don't want to do the same stuff with them. They kind of don't hang out. They don't talk like they used to, things like that. So just as a tip for this first warning sign, not just have a great relationship with your children, but it's really good to have a great relationship with their best friends, okay? Because they might say to you, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, I don't know what's going on, but it just seems like, you know, they don't want to be friends anymore. They don't talk to me. They have these new people, and it's not like it used to be. That's a red flag. Thumbs up, okay? Does it mean they're being sheep stolen? No, not necessarily. Could be they just have new friends, but that is a red flag issue. We'll do some more red flag issues when we come back. Listen to Hands-On Apologetics. Stay tuned, everybody.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And welcome back. We are talking about 10 warning signs or red flag issues to warn you that your loved one is being pulled out of the church, that wolves are sneaking around. Now, like I said, this is just red flags. It doesn't necessarily mean that one or many of them signal sheep stealing is being involved, but these are kind of telltale signs. At least you should get your radar up, kind of figure out what's going on. We talked about sudden arrival of new friends, and older friends are kind of pushed aside. And the second one is a new argumentative or confrontational disposition towards friends and loved ones over certain topics. Now, if you're a parent, you know being overly confrontational or argumentative, it could just be their teens, okay? We've all experienced that. But notice the last qualification, argumentative or confrontational disposition over certain topics, especially religious topics. Let me give you an example. When I first met my wife grew up in a nominally Catholic home, fell away from the church, became Baptist, then became Presbyterian. And when I met her, she was dialoguing with some Catholics and kind of already on the way back to the Catholic Church. And when I first met her, she mentioned something about Calvinism, and I mentioned predestination, and she just exploded in this, like, emotional outburst, right? And I'm like, whoa, I really hit a touchy subject here. And the reason is because she's arguing with people in her church and, you know, people she's talking to about predestination. And so even to bring up that subject, you have this emotional, you know, unleashing of all the frustration and stuff like that. So that's what you're looking for in this particular red flag issue. Not that they're just argumentative or confrontational. Like I said, they could be teenagers, right? Or they could be going through some hormonal development or something. You know, there's lots of different possible causes. But if you notice that there's like certain topics where you kind of just, you know, you touch that little area and you get this big reaction, that's something's going on there, right? Especially when it comes to religious things. And by the way, I should also note that when I talk about wolves, we're referring mostly to religious wolves, but there are lots of other kind of wolves too. There's political wolves. There's social, like, self-help groups, cults. There's financial cults. There's all sorts of even non-religious wolves out there. So just FYI, maybe it could be a certain area of finance or, you know, a certain area of self-improvement or something like that. Keep your eyes out for that. Keep your eyes out for that. Our third red flag issue has to do with a preoccupation or an obsession with materials like books or magazines and stuff like that, or an event. Maybe they're kind of obsessed or preoccupied with a lecture series, maybe a certain teacher at college, maybe a certain self-help group, or a Bible study, right? Or a topic. So they're preoccupied or obsessed with a certain particular topic, like the end of time or justification or something, you know, a specific topic. Why? Well, you know, this is another telltale sign of a possible sheep stealing incident. Many times, it's interesting. This is also a good thing for us to keep in mind spiritually. I'm going to use an analogy that Steve Ray used during one of our discussions. We were talking to a person that was kind of like being recruited into one of these groups. And we'll just call the guy Steve. That's not his real name. But Steve Ray said to this Steve, when we first met you, you were like a classical pianist. You were just flying all over the keyboard. You had this beautiful notes and mastery of the whole keyboard. And he says, and now it's like there's just one key that you just keep hitting over and over and over again, you know? And that's what kind of happens when people are being stolen out of the church and into these groups, is that before there's many different things they were interested in. They read many different books and they liked different teachers and stuff. But usually when they're being sheep stolen, right, when the wolves come and pull them out, often what happens is all that stuff becomes kind of a preoccupation, where they're constantly reading the Bible, constantly reading certain kinds of books, constantly reading magazines, constantly talking about this one teacher or a particular Bible study or maybe even a topic, right? That I think is an important red flag issue, because why this sudden preoccupation? Why all of a sudden this particular kinds of books or magazines? You know, what's the underlying issue? So you can see how, you know, these different red flags, some are stronger than others. Some are more indicative of somebody being pulled out of the church than another. So the sudden arrival of friends, where older friends are kind of pushed away, warning flag. Warning flag two, new or argumentative or confrontational disposition towards friends, especially on topics like religion. That's a warning flag. Third one, a preoccupation or obsession with certain materials, certain events or people, and also topics. Okay. This is especially true, that last one, for those who have children going away to college. The first flag you should look at, you know, what are these new friends? Who are they? What are they all about? Are they pushing away older friends? That kind of happens naturally, but still, you know, that's a warning sign. But especially preoccupation, you know, if they particularly like a certain teacher and they're always talking about the teacher and they're hanging around with people who follow the teacher, that could be a sign that, you know, something might be going on. Okay. Number four, a change in personality that usually tends to move from humorous and optimistic, spontaneous, good-natured, and non-aggressive to humorless, pessimistic, preoccupied, antisocial, confrontational. So we're talking about a change in personality, okay? This is really interesting, because counter-cult groups will notice that there is like a pre-cult identity that is taken over by the cult identity. And it's usually restrictive. It's not like people become more free, more human, you know. When you join these groups, it's the opposite. You become less free, less human. You become more restricted, okay? And it's not unusual at all for someone who is normally just very boisterous, optimistic, spontaneous, just a great person, to, when they're getting recruited into these groups, to suddenly like lose their sense of humor or start being pessimistic, or before they're spontaneous, now they all they want to do is, you know, these certain things, or antisocial, or becoming confrontational, where before they never were confrontational. Now, again, that could be that these groups are, in a sense, exchanging their pre-cult identity with their cult identity. And I've seen this personally. I've seen this happen before. I've met people who have this like post-cult identity, and it's almost always very dour, kind of bland, humorless, things like that. But when you start working with them and they start shedding the influence of this particular group or sect or cult, something really cool happens, is their pre-cult identity starts emerging, and they start making jokes, and they start smiling, and you know, and they start talking about other things of interest. It's really an amazing thing to see, ladies and gentlemen, because it's almost like, you know, they're stripping away the kind of makeup and costume they were wearing, and they kind of turn back to how they were. Now, parents can really see this, right? You can see it when your child kind of all of a sudden becomes a different person in terms of their demeanor and personality. Now, again, does that mean that they're being pulled out of the church? It could. There's other explanations too. You know, it could be they fell in love, or it could be maybe they're having trouble in school, or it could be, you know, lots of other things too. So again, with all these red flags, remember, it's just your radar should go up, say, okay, something's going on here. Maybe I should do a little digging, find out what's going on. Maybe I can help out. That's a big change because, like I said, the personality changes. And best friends and parents can pick up on that. But unfortunately, usually when it becomes very apparent, it's usually pretty late in the process. So it's just one of those things. All right. Well, we move to number 5, radical changes in how one views life, family, politics, alternative lifestyles, non-religious topics. Okay. When you have a huge seismic shift in how your loved one views life, that is a red flag issue. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Okay. For example, maybe you have a son and the son is a huge fan of professional baseball, loves professional baseball, grew up, you know, has baseball cards, you know, goes to games, talks it, plays baseball, has friends that play baseball. And then all of a sudden, in a very short matter of time, they could care less about baseball. Okay. That's what I'm talking about, like a radical shift in worldviews. Even something as inane as baseball, right? Or families or politics. For example, maybe your child grew up very liberal, politically liberal. And then all of a sudden, for no apparent cause, they became arch conservatives. Okay. Like overnight. Or they grew up and they're very conservative, but all of a sudden they became arch liberals overnight. Okay. Radical change in political views. Like, there has to be some sort of cause for this change because people just don't flip like that overnight, right? Same thing's true with lifestyles, you know, accepting alternative lifestyles and things like that, or politics or family, how they view family. If you notice any radical shifts like that, that is a red flag issue. So change in personality, change in how they view life, politics, lifestyles, religion, that type of stuff. Those two are pretty big red flag issues. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to go through the rest of the 10 reasons or red flag issues or warning signs that your child may be pulled out of your church and that you need to intervene. Stay tuned, everybody.
If you're a listener to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, you already know about Hands-On Apologetics with Master Apologist Gary Machuda. And if you're a fan of Hands-On Apologetics, then we have some exciting news for you. This February, Sensei Gary will be leaving the Apologetics Dojo in Michigan to visit the Virgin Most Powerful Radio World Headquarters in Covina, California. And if you'll be in Southern California this February, we have more exciting news for you. Not only will Gary be doing his live show from our Virgin Most Powerful Radio studio, but he will be giving a live presentation on February 20th at 7 p.m. right here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. That's Gary Machuda speaking live on the topic of Breaking the Bible Barrier, Why Catholic Appeals to the Bible Fail, and How to Make Them Successful. For more information, call 877-526-2151. Or visit virginmostpowerfulradio.org. It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. We are going through my 10 warning signs that your loved one may be being recruited out of the church by what I call wolves. So, and we're going through them. And like I said, the warning signs, they don't necessarily mean they're being recruited. Could be other causes. But nevertheless, I think for parents, you should have your radar, you know, up and running, trying to find out what's going on. And we already went through the first five, which are number one, sudden arrival of new friends and older friends are ignored. Number two, new argumentative disposition on certain topics. Number three, a preoccupation or obsession with certain kinds of material, certain kinds of events, or a person, and or a topic. Number four, a change in personality, usually from humorous, optimistic, spontaneous, good-natured, non-aggressive, towards humorless, pessimistic, preoccupied, antisocial, confrontational. So it's usually in that direction. You normally don't find recruits who start off humorless, pessimistic, and so on, you know, becoming very happy-go-lucky, okay? And then we did number five right before the break, radical changes in how the person views life, family, politics, alternative lifestyles, non-religious topics, and, of course, religious topics. And what I'm talking about there is like a sudden radical shift from one extreme to another. Okay. I'm not talking about, well, you know, my son or daughter, they're not as conservative as they used to be, or, you know, they're just not into this particular sport or something like they used to be. I'm talking about from really loving something to coming to the total opposite of that thing. That could be a red flag issue because, you know, there has to be an underlying cause. Now, of course, you know, people just, they grow up, they change. It could just be that's the way they are. But if it's really radical and really quick, I think that would raise a red flag for me that maybe something's going on. Somebody's feeding them some information, and somehow or other that's being translated into like a radically different outlook on life. All right. Now, the sixth one, a drastic change in sleeping habits or diet. And diet. It could be either or. Especially sleep privation. Okay. Why? Well, this is true, especially for really coercive wolves, coercive groups. The ones that use mind control, or even they could cross the border from mind control to brainwashing. In fact, this is used during brainwashing, is a sudden change of eating and sleeping habits. Okay, see, what these coercive groups do is when they have new recruits, they'll isolate them. Maybe it'll be a seminar out in the mountains or something like that where they really can't go anywhere. And what would happen is suddenly the diet changes to something radically different. And they're not allowed to sleep. They have to sit and listen to hours upon hours of lectures and other things. So they don't get sleep. Their diets change radically. And the reason they do that is because, well, you know, we're body-soul composites, right? Our souls experience things through the body. And if you can throw the body off, then that makes your soul kind of like more passive and more docile to suggestion, okay? So these coercive groups, they will say, okay, you're only eating rice for the next 3 days because that's going to purify you. Or they're going to keep them up, you know, and maybe have 1 or 2 hours sleep. And of course, when you're sleepy or groggy, you're just not mentally capable of thinking critically about what's given you. You know, if it's just, it runs on and on and on, eventually it just kind of passes by your critical faculties and you just start accepting information. Okay. Now, this occurs, like I said, with these coercive groups, but there could be other more mild forms of this as well. So if you notice that your loved one, they go off to college, all of a sudden they take on a very strange diet, something very different from how they grew up. They're not getting a lot of sleep. You know, every time you talk to them or you see them, that, you know, they look like they got maybe a few hours sleep. And especially if this is with the arrival of new friends and things like that, that's a big warning sign. Now, again, that could just mean that maybe they're trying to change their diets and maybe it's midterms or something like that, right? It doesn't necessarily mean they're being recruited. But, you know, it's something to keep your eye out, especially if they're saying that they're going to some sort of help self-help thing or maybe some Bible group, and everybody on the Bible group is doing this diet and they're having these long retreats on weekends, you know, and they're changing their eating habits and sleeping habits. That's a red flag. Okay. Big red flag, especially if it's, you know, these retreats are like out in the countryside away from people, they're kind of isolated, not necessarily a good thing. Okay. So that's number six, drastic change in sleeping habits and diet. Number seven, I think this, of all the warning signs, I think this is the most important one. It's the most telltale sign that something's going on. The appearance of jargon in their speech. Okay, so you start talking to your loved one and you notice that every now and then they'll throw in a term that they never used before and you're not really sure. It just sounds weird and out of place, okay? Or maybe they use a religious term, but in the context in which they use it, it seems odd or unconventional, okay? Let me give you an example. Like if you're talking to your child and they said, yeah, Mom, you know, I'm full of Holy Spirit, you know? I belong to a group that has Holy Spirit. That's kind of weird because we usually say the Holy Spirit, right? The person of the Holy Spirit. We normally don't use it without the article. And by the way, that's a telltale sign. Or they start talking about kingdom stuff. Or just, you know, words and phrases that are odd. Especially, like I said, religious terms that don't seem to fit conventional terminology. And like I said, I think this is the most important and telltale of all the warning signs. Why? Because you don't pick up jargon just like that. You usually pick up jargon if you're in a group that uses that jargon. Okay. And the nice thing about jargon, there actually is a good positive thing about it from our perspective. If your loved one starts using jargon, okay, then that helps you identify the group. That could be a huge clue as to what group they've joined. For example, I used the Holy Spirit thing. That actually worked on one of my cases. A lady, sister, suddenly became, didn't want to go to Mass, was reading the Bible all the time. You know, it showed all these warning signs. And I said, hey, I'd love to talk to her. So I sat down with a meeting. And we're talking, and I noticed that whenever she referred to the Holy Spirit, she never said the Holy Spirit. She always said Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, I know that there are probably about a half dozen groups out there that use that, that they don't use the article when they talk about Holy Spirit. One of them, which is like the Way International. But the Way International in this area wasn't really operating. And it's a small group. It's kind of a long shot that she would be recruited by this particular cult. Okay. But I knew the Jehovah Witnesses do that. That is part of their jargon. So that kind of clued me in that perhaps she's being recruited, being pulled out of the church by a Jehovah Witness. So then I talked to the sister privately, and it turned out, yep, one of her coworkers was a Jehovah Witness, and he used to work with her. He doesn't anymore, but they're kind of friends. So that kind of clued me in on where the information was coming from, just from jargon. So I think that's a really important clue. It's like if they start using terminology, terms, phrases that are unusual or odd or religious things that don't fit how Orthodox religious people use them, warning flag. Okay. Number 8, a sudden aversion to mass, prayer, or other devotions. That was the same with this lady, too. You know, the first warning flag was this lady who was talking to the Jehovah Witness suddenly didn't want to go to mass, wasn't really praying. They were just studying Bible and talking to this friend on the phone. So aversion towards mass, prayer, devotions. Red flag. Red flag. Okay? Another thing, too. Number 9. Secretive phone calls or relationships. Like I said, wolves don't want to be spotted. Stealth is their best weapon. Okay. So they try to keep under the radar screen. They don't really want people to know that they're talking to a particular person and kind of trying to pull them out of where they are. So if you notice that your loved one is having these phone conversations with people you don't know and they're deliberately hiding it from you, or relationships, you know, that's a red flag issue. Or they don't want to tell you what they were talking about. You know, not only is the contact mysterious, but they don't want to even talk about what the discussion was about. That could be a red flag. Now, again, it could be they're in love. You know, maybe they just want to be private. It doesn't necessarily mean they're being recruited. But like I said, it's one of those red flags along with the other ones that, you know, if this is happening, you should probably keep your eyes out. Right? Never know. Okay, finally, number 10, warning sign. Number 10, odd paraphernalia. Okay, keep your eyes out whether your loved one, certain objects and things that are kind of unusual appear, you know, on their person or in their room or something like that, like non-Catholic prayer beads, maybe crystals, tarot cards, you know, things like that. You know, Jesus 911 with Jesse and the gang. You know, they always talk about this occult paraphernalia. Well, you know, it could be stuff like that. It could be magazines. It could be CDs. It could be even an internet website that it's odd that this person has that as one of their favorites. Maybe you're looking at the computer and it's on. That could be a red flag, too. All right, gang. So that's the top 10 warning signs. And once you realize it, like I said, it's time to intervene, because if you can get to it early, if you can interrupt that process, the chances of success goes way, way up. Waiting is not an option. So best of luck to you. God willing, you know, it won't happen to you, but if it does, keep your eyes out for these warning signs. All right, coming up next week, we got some great guests in store for you. Some new people, some older people. Steve Weidenkopf, Troy Guy, William Albrecht, and Dr. Brian Bradford, who has some really interesting things to say about Islam. So it's going to be a great week coming in store for you. And also coming up next, the dynamic duo of talk radio, Terry and Jesse Show. High impact, high intensity talk radio, Catholic style. And it's time for me to turn off the lights here at the dojo. I hope everybody has a great day and a blessed weekend. And thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. God bless everybody.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.